Hearing by the word of God. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So we want to pray for Pastor Ratliff. And I always think about preachers in general, but preachers have a unique set of difficulties in life.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen. Having said that, I had a few copies of our lesson for today, and I passed them out. I kind of ran short of ink today, so I didn't copy a lot of them, but you'll find a few around there. And you may go right ahead and share those if you can, and we'll go ahead. I'm going to tell you what text we're coming from. We'll be coming from the Old Testament book of Psalms.
Amen.
Psalm number 2. And then you may put a bookmark in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the New Testament. And we'll, of course, also read these texts for you if you happen not to have one with you. And we also read it so that when we post these messages online, that others can also hear it in other places. And I've been really blessed to know that the internet ministry, we've gotten emails from Kenya, from India, from Pakistan, from all kinds of places. And people are hearing the gospel. And so that's the reason, main reason why we do that. I keep thinking about the Apostle Paul and the early church. If they had had the tools that we have and the resources that we have to disseminate the gospel, you know, they went on foot and on horseback and on beast of burden, riding an ox from town to town, or walking, or by sea. A lot of ways just to put the word out, and you and I have the opportunity to do it in a myriad of other ways now. So we try to utilize everything that's available, because so much of what is available is used for ungodly purposes.
Right.
We'll talk about that just a little bit. But let us go right ahead for the conservation of time and get into Psalms 2. This is a very, very typical psalm. I think most of us have studied this and loved it throughout the years. Psalms 2 from the King James translation reads like this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure.
Yes.
Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. We've read Psalms number 2 in its entirety. And now we'd like to call your attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse number 1. From the King James translation, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1. But the times of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And I beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. We've read 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 to 14. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for your word today, Father. We thank you for every mode of mercy that you continue to pour out upon us, Father. We see it every day, Father, because we don't do everything perfectly, but you continue to bless us in spite of ourselves.
Yes.
And Father, you continue to use us even when we go out and sometimes we're a little cantankerous, difficult to get along with, and don't do everything exactly right, or not in the happiest of spirits all the time, not even in our homes.
Yes.
And but Lord, you bless us anyway. You come
yes,
into the midst of all of our confusion
yes.
and
oh, yes.
difficulty, and you continue to show mercy
you,
and favor, Lord. And for that, we thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
We bless you today, God, and ask you continue to keep us, Lord. Teach us to be better.
Yes.
Teach us to be more like you. We thank you for that principle of sanctification
yes.
where you set us apart originally to continue to work in our lives and to reveal yourself day by day,
yes.
line upon line, precept upon precept. You give us more understanding
mm-hmm.
in your word. And Father, we become better. We
yes.
become closer to that Christ likeness to which we have been called. And so, Father, we thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord.
We ask you to continue to bless us, Lord. Continue to move us forward.
Yes.
Father, we ask you to bless every minister who preaches the gospel clearly in the world.
Yes.
And we ask you to look over those who desire to preach and have been impaired some kind of way. Lord, and we ask you to bless this house right now, Father. Bless the place in which we are sitting, that it might be holy ground, that we might hear a word from on high.
Yes.
We ask you to open our ears, anoint our understanding, and we ask it in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for the blessing of his word.
Yes.
And as
yes.
we mentioned briefly earlier, the scripture does say that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I just got hit with so many things when I was thinking about what is a good message to bring for St. Timothy. And I thought this is a good message in general that the Lord placed on my heart for the church in general, everywhere. Because
yeah.
right. when we think about what is the condition of the church, especially in America,
mm-hmm.
on this, which today is, of course, we've just passed by that 9th anniversary of the September 11th attacks,
yes.
which was done by professing Muslims.
Yes.
Okay, these were people who said they were Muslim people, and that anniversary just passed us by just yesterday.
Yeah.
And so we're here today, and I want to just ask the question, what is it that the present-day church thinks about that? How do we feel about it? I haven't heard a lot. You know, I think people kind of get hush-hush. We
uh-huh.
hear from fanatical people in the church who want to
yeah.
burn Qurans, and
yeah.
they put them on news on the front page and on all the channels
uh-huh.
and broadcast it all over the world
uh-huh.
to make Christians seem like they're intolerant, difficult,
yes.
Bigoted kind of people.
That's it.
You see, but we don't hear a lot about what the general body of the church thinks uh-huh. about these kind of activities. So we wanted to just speak briefly on that
Amen.
Today. And so why is it that the present-day church seems to fail to address opposition of false religions that are present all around the world? I mean, there's a lot of them all around the globe. We seem not to address it as much, or let's say it's not publicized as much,
and, right.
but we would like to give that a treatment from the scripture just briefly
yeah.
today. And then think about with all the practices of paganism that are escalating at a rapid pace, what should the true church of Jesus Christ be doing
all right.
in these days? These are the kind of things that people avoid talking about. We want to talk about
Amen.
A lot of
That's
other
it.
Things.
Yes, sir.
And kind of it's like the pink elephant is in the middle of the room, and everybody looks around. Let's talk about the paint and you know the chairs and the carpet and all that. What about the big elephant?
Right.
It's sitting right in the middle of the room.
Right.
Who's going to say, where is there an elephant sitting
yeah.
here? You know,
yes.
we're not going to do that. We'd rather not do that because it's controversial.
Yeah.
And so basically what happens is we're going to people do these things, and we have to be careful because in the process of doing that, I think we should examine ourselves
oh, yeah.
as a church. And I don't mean this necessarily just St. Timothy. I'm
uh-huh.
talking about each of us
yeah.
individually, because we mingle with all these things as we go
yes.
out into the workplace
oh, yes.
and the marketplace day by day.
Uh-huh.
We were talking in Sunday school. Brother Adams mentioned, what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. How about if we grab onto his name and then fail to execute the Great Commission?
Alright.
What does that do for the church? What does it do for an individual?
Right.
You know, you say you would like to where the Lord says, if my people were called by my name, see we have his name attached to us, we're saying we're Christians.
Right.
Do we exalt Christ? And do we put forth the message of Christ unapologetically, you know, so that we know that people know what we believe and why we believe it, like the scriptures said. And so we're just going to talk briefly about that because we can see that this thing is escalating. A lot of things are getting out of control, and there's a lot of masquerade going on. How many have been to a masquerade party at some time in your life? Okay, we see it go along a lot around Halloween time. People like to masquerade, put something on, and act like they're something that they're not. We see it used in devious practices like bank robberies, folks coming in dressed up like something that they're not to cover their deception. And so we have a lot of it, and I want to use it for a thought today because there's even masquerade and spiritual masquerade going on in the church. So we want to talk about avoiding the deceptions of spiritual masquerade when people are dressed up to be something that they really are not. And just briefly from these texts, we find that a lot of things are coming together in the world, and we see a lot of stuff going on around us now. And to me, it just stirs my spirit when these things happen. And you see them on TV, and you hear people come on talk shows, and they talk, you know, around the problem all the time. They talk around it, beating around the bush, I call it. You see. And they're beating around the burning bush in this case.
That's, you know,
they're going around not wanting to tell you that the ground we stand on is holy ground.
Yeah.
And that the reason it is because this is what thus saith the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And so we can see where the pattern of the world basically right now is heading toward the condition that the Bible says will be in place in the latter days or in the end times.
Yeah.
And mostly we as Christians are aware that we are living in the latter days. As it says. John says that many antichrists are already in the world. He said back in the 2,000 years ago when he wrote in 1 John. And so the spirit of antichrist is in the world, has been in the world, and is escalating and gaining ground and moving forward. He's moving forward. He has a goal. The Bible has already told us what the goal of Antichrist is.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're in the darkness like Paul told those Thessalonians there. Mm-hmm. He said, and this was way back then, keep this in mind, the text in 1 Thessalonians 5. Mm-hmm. He says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's been written in the scripture all the way from the days of Daniel. That the world will become progressively wiser and progressively more evil to the end, and that there will be a willful king that will rise up and usurp authority in the whole world.
Uh-huh.
And this was given to Daniel while the children of Israel were in exile.
Yeah.
And they had been taken out of their land, in other words, because they had handled what God had given them, which was holy, in a very unholy manner.
Amen.
And God used the Gentiles from which they were taken to chastise them.
Right.
And was setting them straight. He continued to unfold his plan of prophecy to the whole world, even during the captivity of Israel. And through Daniel, he was an exilic prophet, we call him, one of the prophets who prophesied during the time that Israel was in exile. And so primarily, Daniel had a lot of revelation to give the church and the world. He tells us things that we could say that, put it this way, let's just say that Daniel is like the book of Revelation, concealed in the Old Testament. And then when Jesus came and the apostles' ministry went forth, the book of Revelation unfolded what Daniel's prophecy was about and told us things all the way down to the very end of time that are yet to occur. And you and I are somewhere in between that. The scripture calls that time period the times of the Gentiles. Okay, because think about this. The nation of Israel was born out of the Gentiles. God called Abram a Chaldean Gentile and separated him or sanctified him. Told him, I'm going to bless the whole world through your seed, of which he had none. And then he went on to do that through three generations, Abraham, Isaac. And finally, Jacob multiplied the holy seed and to fulfill the promise he made to Abraham as the sand of the seashore and as the stars of heaven.
Yeah.
And then he put them in the world and he blessed them, built them all the way up to be a nation of kings You see, they had kings. The kings of Israel were the most famous, the most renowned in all the world.
Yeah.
And then when they got proud and arrogant, fat and sassy, we might say, they began to be so proud they could not do what God said anymore. They started to masquerade around and have different types of things that they added to what God said.
Yeah.
And all those things, to the point that God finally got sick of it, took them down, dismantled them, scattered them to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And he continued to prophesy.
Yes.
And it was during that period of his prophecy that in that exilic period that Daniel wrote. And he let us know. He wrote things he didn't even understand. Of course, not only Daniel. Of course, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the prophets tell the story of the rise and fall of Israel, if you will. Moses had even written it in the book of the law that Israel will come. They will rise and eventually they will give way to their own lust and devices and fall and be punished by God.
Yes.
And so we see this throughout the Old Testament. So Paul says, of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because you've been studying, got the word already. Mm-hmm. God has given you the word already. You can see how God works.
Yeah.
You can understand that God will not tolerate a nation that turns their back on him mm-hmm. and casts him aside and elevates idols.
Yeah.
Alongside of him. We talked about that in the Sunday school a little this morning.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
Uh-huh.
This is common study.
Yeah.
We talked about this before when I came in to tell you. God's going to, he has a day scheduled. It's on his calendar.
That's
we don't know when it is.
Right.
He says it's going to come like a thief in the night.
Yes.
Look around, and then all of a sudden, there it is.
Right.
And we live right in that time. And, you know, I'm just shocked every day when I turn on the TV. And I hear things like that thing that the church, the guy says, well, we're going to burn Qurans in honor of September 11th. And I'm thinking, okay, why aren't you going to preach the gospel? Why aren't you going to tell people the message of life?
Yeah.
Why aren't you going to tell them that Jesus Christ is the true Savior?
Yes.
Why aren't you going to involve yourself in something that can help somebody?
Right.
And how is what you're doing any better than what they did by flying airplanes, aircraft into the World Trade Center and destroying people and putting your own people in harm's way?
Right.
You see? And so you wonder, how can that kind of thing happen? And so we talk about that today. I would like to get the world's attention like he did and then tell them the gospel.
There you go.
You see,
amen.
You know, now maybe that was his strategy. Maybe he's going to pop on TV today and be broadcasting the gospel. I hope it is, you know.
Amen.
And I don't know, and I'm not able to judge what's in somebody else's mind.
That's right.
But I just thought about, what are we doing, and how do what do we do to publish the gospel to the world? Is it the most important thing in our mind?
Right.
And so that's the reason why Paul's telling these Thessalonians, keep in mind the Thessalonian church is a Gentile church.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Paul went to Thessalonica after he had been, he first went to the Corinth, basically, and came into Philippi, actually, in Macedonia, let me say, not Corinth. But he went into Macedonia, he preached the gospel in Philippi. He was locked up for preaching the gospel. He eventually went out through Berea, spread the gospel, went on up to Thessalonica, spread the gospel, and he continued to move on. He was moving on foot or however he could travel to get the word out that the good news has happened. God has sent his only son so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so he went on through Thessalonica and he had to write letters back to them to tell them some things because trouble came right along with the gospel. You and I, when we present the gospel, we will have trouble. Jesus said that when you speak in my name, that he says you will be persecuted for my name's sake. He tried to prepare the church. He says when you come and you speak a good word in my name, you will be persecuted as were the prophets who were before you. In Matthew chapter 5, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. He said, but when this happens, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in the kingdom of heaven, he says in Matthew chapter 5.
Yes.
And so Paul expected this. This was the common teaching of Jesus, that when you come with the truth, you will be persecuted, spoken evil of for my name's sake, and all that. And so I don't know if the church is ready for that today. You know, a lot of people in the church are not ready for that. We want our, all the blessings from the Lord, all the favor. We want the hundredfold seed and blessing and all that. But I don't know if I want to be persecuted or spoken evil of or put down or ridiculed when I stand up and just say the gospel.
Yeah.
See? And you know what? If we keep it simple, Jesus said do that. He said to go into all the world and teach, right?
Yeah.
All the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you.
Yes.
And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. See, so it's a very simple message. We're always teaching, even if you only teach one little thing.
Yes.
And I found that that's what you have to do sometimes. Sometimes you can't get a big block of information into anybody's mind. You can teach the one little thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've had conversations with people who I know hate the truth, but they know what I stand for, and I'll slip in a little thing, and that little thing, boom, it's like a bomb dropping in the room, almost, you know, and I just leave it alone, let it simmer, I just drop that word and move on, you know, and so you have to learn how to do this. You want to share a good word in due season, you know, and pick them carefully, pick your words carefully, because they may fall up on deaf ears in many cases. But Paul says, you have no need that I write you anything, because you already know. He's reminding them of stuff you already know. That's one thing I like about preaching. The saints who really love God, you already know. I'm not telling you anything new. The stuff I'm saying is stuff you've been hearing all your life, because you've been brought up in the Word. If you happen to be blessed so well that you were raised in a house that taught you the truth.
Yes.
Now think about this now. Imagine that same thing, and I've been asked this before, for someone who was raised in a house that taught paganism of some sort, or some other form of belief system, or some other faith. They have a faith and belief in that thing that they're brought up in, so it'll be a little more difficult to get them to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful that it's not my duty or responsibility to do that.
Yes.
You know, it's my duty and responsibility to tell them, to seed their mind with the truth.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit says, when you present the gospel, I am there, I will convict them of sin.
Yes.
Because they believe not on me.
Right.
Of righteousness, Jesus said. He remember that in John 16? He said, I'm going to send you another comforter.
Yes.
And he will come in my name. And he says he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Yes.
Sin because they believe not on me.
Yes.
Because it's a sin not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Right.
Righteousness because I go to the Father. Who else came here and was born and went to the Father?
Nobody.
Righteousness. He showed that he got up out of the grave, defeating death, hell, the grave, anything you can go through as a human being.
Yes.
He went through it and came out victorious.
Yes.
And he, after 40 days, after he'd been out of the grave, they stood and watched as he went up and was received into the clouds.
That's it.
No, nobody else did that. Nobody got out of the grave. Lazarus got out of the grave. Jesus called him back after 4 days.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yep.
And he was riding and giving up just corruption from his body.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told him, get up, come out, you know, roll the stone away. Lazarus, come forth. He came forth. That's the I always tell people that's the best healing in the Bible.
All right.
Want to talk about healing? Healed you all the way from death. Rigor mortis and brought you back up out of it. So you can't be more healed than that. Couldn't have been more sick than that, could you?
All right.
You see? So the fact is, he brought him back, reversed rigor mortis.
Yes.
Brought him back to human life.
Yeah.
Bought him out the grave, told him, loose him and let him go before he die again in there. You're about to smother him with all that grave stuff you got on him. And he came out and he sat and ate with Jesus at the table.
Yeah.
Think about that. So he was showing you, I have power over everything.
Yes. Amen.
That's why he said that this sickness is not unto death. He told them they weren't getting it. Well, Lord, what do you mean? If he's asleep, well, he'll be okay. The apostle said, we don't have to go rush over there to Bethany because we're scared they're going to beat us anyway when we get there. You know, and Jesus said, well, no, Lazarus is dead. He had to make it plain, you know, in John 11 and tell him he is actually dead. And he says, okay, then what are we going to do now? It's like this is a hopeless cause. But if you want to go, let us go that we may die with you, Thomas said. You see, we'll just go and let them kill us, Lord. Let's go. Go ahead and go on our mission. You see? And so they got over there, and of course we know that the sisters of Lazarus came, and they said, they were, well, weeping and crying. He said, well, don't you know that I am the resurrection and the life?
Yes.
You know, that he that believe in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Yes,
he
Lord.
Said, yes, Lord, I believe that. Well, then get down there and move that stone. You know, they move the stone, and he calls Lazarus forth. Lazarus comes back out of death after 4 days.
Yeah.
See? But and those kind of things are the record that cannot be suppressed.
That's right.
Amen. You know, and they talked about that. They said, we can figure out a whole lot of stuff, but we do not know how he did that.
That's right.
That's why when Nicodemus came saying, Lord, we know you must be a teacher come from God, because no man can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him.
Right.
You know, he understood that this had to be God. There's no one else who can do this.
That's right.
You see? And so basically all this record, this history was there. Among the people of Israel at that time.
Yes.
And so Jesus showed that he was, in fact, God in the flesh.
Yes, he did.
that he had come. But the Spirit of the Lord is there. When you make a presentation of the gospel, the Holy Spirit, it's his job to convict people of sin.
That's it.
Righteousness and judgment. It's my job to teach.
Yeah.
He said, you go into all the world and teach.
Yes.
And then I'll convict them. If they resist the Holy Spirit, that's the only unpardonable sin.
Yes.
You see that? The only unpardonable sin is to resist or do blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Call the Holy Spirit a liar. Jesus isn't the Lord. Now, this is important, and I wanted to go over that, because the reason this is important is there are some critical differences between the Bible and the Quran that people don't even really talk about. I haven't heard many people talk about it. A lot of people were practicing Muslims and other faiths. They don't know. They've been raised in it. They feel comfortable in it. Because this is what my mother did. This is what my father did. And they go on back, you know, generations maybe. Uh-huh. You see? And so what do you do? How do you bring some kind of sense to that and help them understand the truth? And the thing is, it's going to require, first of all, presentation of the truth. The truth is, the Quran teaches that Allah, who they say is God, has no son. Surah 112, I'll quote their book. Surah 112 says Allah has no son, he does not beget, neither is he begotten, there's none like him. Okay, that's a principal difference between the Bible and the Quran.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The Quran says Allah has no son. The Bible says without the son, you do not have the father who sent him.
That's right.
See? It says without the son, it's actually blasphemy against the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit bears witness that Jesus is the Son of God.
That's right. Amen.
The true teachers of God are those who know and teach that Jesus is come into the flesh, John says, when you try the spirits to see are they from God.
Uh-huh.
You see? And the Quran says he is not from God. And in Surah 4, 157 through 9, it says he was not crucified and that was a farce. That's what it says. You have to read it for yourself. Surah 4, 157 to 59, it says that Jesus Christ was not crucified and that they pulled off a scam in Jerusalem. Okay, people don't know that it says that. That's a critical difference.
Uh-huh.
Same kind of thing, some more practical things. The Bible says that for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh.
Yes.
And the Quran says you can have multiple wives. It teaches a completely different thing even about life and practice.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these things are oil and water, and there are significant differences. Most people don't know the Bible was completed. It began to be written over 1,500 years before Jesus became flesh. In other words, before the first century. And then it was completed after 100 years, 95 A.D.
Uh-huh.
So we would say over a 1,600 year period, the scripture was given and completed.
That's
and sealed with a curse. Okay, Revelation 22:18 says that you shall not add to the words of the book of this prophecy, and neither shall you subtract. If you subtract, I'll subtract your name from the book of life and from the holy city.
Yes.
If you add, I will add the plagues that are written in this book. See, and then 610 to 632 A.D. is the time in which the Quran was written.
Yeah.
From 610, that's 600 years later, over 500 years later, to 632, was written in 23 years by one person, Muhammad, who died and his grave is still there to bear witness to the fact that he did not have the solution to death.
That's right.
Okay? So this is what we're saying. We want to understand these are some principal differences that need to be understood. And all you have to do is open the book, look in the front, see when was it written.
Mm-hmm.
See who wrote it, how long did it take. All that's right there in the book.
Yeah.
Christians don't know this. Current day professing Muslims don't know this. But something they need to know. They need to examine history and find out how these things came to be.
Yeah.
And so things that had been written and believed among the church, which was a pillar in the world and still is even today, although we're on the tail end of it. That's me saying that. The scripture doesn't say that. But I can see it crumbling apart. Because Paul had told them that an apostasy must come first, which is a falling away.
Yeah.
When a church starts to abandon its fundamental principles and starts to become flaky, we see that in the news. We just saw recently where when this same minister, whoever he is down in Florida, said he was going to burn Qurans, there were rabbis, priests, and other Christians, professing Muslims, imams, as they call them, all got together. Well, you know what? The Bible says have no fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness.
Amen.
See, so what concord does Christ have with Belial, people who do not believe the truth? See, so that's not correct either. So we see all that happening in the church, and they're doing this, saying we're doing a good thing. No, teach the truth clearly.
That's right.
Don't go with the zeitgeist, the German term, the spirit of the age, if you will. See, and a lot of times the church is sucked up into the spirit of the age. Ultimately, professing Christians are going to be sucked up into it. Not real ones, but professing Christians are going to be sucked up into it. And they're going to be destroyed because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So this is critical stuff here that we're talking about. Now, Paul, back to the Thessalonians. He said here, their peace was threatened. He says, but brethren, ye are not in darkness. Oh, I'll skip verse 3. Let's go back to 3. For when they shall say peace and safety.
Yes.
See, everybody thinks peace and safety is the important thing.
Yes.
Now, that's the whole thing that brought the rabbis, the imams, and all those different priests and all that all together. Is we need to have peace, and this thing is going to be volatile if you do this. So we had a bad premise promoting another bad premise, another situation, and they all come together for peace and safety. See, peace and safety, he says, what they're going to be saying, when sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. See, so it's not going to be, it's going to be like Jeremiah 8:11. They shall be saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. And he says that they tried to soothe Israel with that. When God told Israel, you're going into captivity because of disobedience, the false prophets came along and said, I don't believe that.
Yep.
There is not going to be no captivity. The Lord is with us. You know, and everybody wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
They wanted to hear that. Oh, yes. It's not that the Lord is not with us. He is, but he's with you for the right thing and the right reason.
Amen.
And he's with you for the gospel of his Son. He is with you to promote the gospel to the ends of the earth, to preach the gospel to every creature. He is with you for confronting people who are in error with the truth. He's not with you to mush up with all kinds of folks who deny his name. He's not with you to have other gods before him. He's not with you to just combine yourself and mix in the church with all kinds of things that deny Christ.
Right.
He's not with us for that. He's against you for that.
Yeah.
And you'll see that as we look on. So they're going to be saying peace and safety, but then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Now that means they believe that there's peace and safety, because they're not looking for this sudden destruction. They think, oh, this thing we're doing, this ecumenical thing, where we're all getting together and we're all brothers in the Lord, and you're blaming God for that when God sent his Son into the world. They make a mockery of the gospel.
Yes.
Because if you can get saved by any human works of any sort or any religion of any sort, and Christ died on the cross, Brother Adams mentioned this morning, Galatians 2:21, for I frustrate not the grace of God. For if Christ died, he says, for if you could be saved by the law, then Christ died needlessly. You see, there was no purpose for the cross.
Yes.
All these things nullify what the cross is for.
That's right.
The cross is because pitiful sinners like us can't help themselves.
That's right.
The cross is because folks who are dead in their trespasses and sin can't live holy enough for God to accept them. The cross is for mercy from God, who knows that you are all condemned to hell, and every one of us, and without the blood of my Son.
That's right.
The cross is not only mercy, but it's also justice. God said, I'm giving him the justice that you deserve.
Yeah.
So that I can take your sin and wash it away by his love and his mercy for you.
Yeah.
So to ignore the cross and try to bring another way in, Jesus said, if you come any other way, you come as a thief and a robber.
That's right.
You see, and imagine a thief and a robber. That's two things right there in the Ten Commandments that you broke already. So when you try to come through the window, you're not going to get in. He said, you must come in at the door, Jesus said. I am the door.
Right.
You see? And so these things are very clear. The church has a clear message if we choose to teach it.
Yes.
And when we teach it, we're going to be persecuted. Like this message may be spoken evil of. I don't know. But it's going to be preached because it's the truth. So they're going to be saying peace and safety. That means that we think God's okay with this thing. This ecumenical thing, just blend all this stuff all together and make everybody happy.
Uh-huh.
You deny the Christ and I'll deny Muhammad, because Muhammad said there is no Son of God. You say there is, but we're going to get together anyway. No, can't do it.
No way.
See, you know what? And I tell you what, check your history. I always tell people, check history. Don't go and believe whatever it is, because it's not going to help you in the long run if it's not true. You know, you can believe something quite a while, but if it's not true, it is not going to help you. Okay, let's move another notch here, and then we have some thoughts I want to hang on your mind. He says in verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 5:4, But ye, brethren, that means all of you,
yes,
are not in darkness,
mm-hmm,
that you should, that the day should overtake you as a thief.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's enough evidence, you know, that stuff is not right. That's why I'm up here blowing the whistle now. I want you to think about what the way you see the church going,
yes,
and the stuff you see on TV,
yes,
and think about what the Bible says and put them side by side. Remember, we talked about that plumb line and that,
yes,
measuring,
yes,
stick.
That's right.
We have to have a way to measure what's true.
Amen.
The Word of God is absolutely perfect. It's,
yeah,
without a flaw. And it gives us the standard by which all human thoughts and opinions and creeds must be tried.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, let us not sleep. Now, we can sleep it if we want to and say, okay, well, it's not really my responsibility to tell anybody anything or take a stand one way or the other. You sleep.
Yes.
Wake up. Understand who
that's
you are.
Right.
Jesus said, if you deny me before men,
right,
what? I will deny you also before my Father who is in heaven. And the last thing I need is for Jesus to say, I don't know him.
Hey.
Depart from me, Fisher,
right,
I don't know you.
That's right.
You were ashamed of me. You were ashamed to tell somebody who I was.
Yes.
So I don't know you either. Can you imagine that? And you know, these people are coming, Matthew 7:21, saying, Lord, Lord. And he'll say to them, Lord, you know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Never
knew you.
That's right.
Think about that. You know, that would be the most horrible thing,
wow,
you could ever do. You live your whole life thinking, I'm living for God.
Yeah.
You know, you see him. Now, you didn't say he was God on earth.
Uh-huh.
Because you say Allah has no son.
Yeah.
When you come there, you see the crucified one with,
yeah,
scars in his hands and his side.
Yes.
And you come before him, you're going to say, Lord, and fall on your face to worship.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to say, well, I don't know you because Allah does not have a son.
All right.
Or Buddha does not have a son, or whoever else you want to,
yes,
name. I don't know you. You know me. Yes, I am the Lord. For every eye will see me, and every tongue will confess that I am Lord, but that doesn't mean you're saved.
Yes.
Then your eye will see him. All eyes will see him. Every knee will bow.
Yes, you will.
See? But do you want to be saved? If you do, know who he is and what he has done for you. He alone cleanses man from their sin.
Yes.
And apart from the cross, there is no salvation.
No way.
Period. Because it's not by works of righteousness that we have done,
that's
but
right,
by his great mercy, Titus 3:5 says, that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
By the washing of regeneration and renewing by
thank
the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, see what's going on. Keep your eyes open. And be sober. Keep your mind clear.
Yes.
And free so you can think and be used by God.
All right.
For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. He says, but us, he says, let us who are of the day. In other words, God has made you a day person. In other words, if you're in tune with the truth, be sober. He says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. In other words, you know that God is protecting you and he will keep you in good shape all the way until that day when you take that stand. Like Paul says, I fought the good fight.
Yeah.
He didn't say I relaxed in the hotel and let people do whatever they want. I fought the good fight.
Yeah.
I kept the faith.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I finished my course. See? And it was not easy. He might have said, you know, but he didn't complain. He had learned the secret not to,
yes,
complain.
Yeah.
Notice he says, for God has not appointed us to wrath. You don't have an appointment with wrath if you stand for the gospel.
That's it.
You don't have to worry about judgment. How many Christians are worried today, not sure if they're saved, because they've heard something from some other sect or cult, like Brother Adams mentioned this morning about the Seventh-day Adventists, or some of them who tell you, you're not keeping the Sabbath. And they try to slap a works load on you. Like the Jews told the early church, you haven't been circumcised, how are you going to get into the kingdom? Even though Jesus is the Christ. They added Jesus to circumcision.
Yeah.
You see, and Paul had to rebuke Peter because
he
wouldn't eat with the uncircumcised for a while. Remember that in Galatians?
Yes,
so salvation is completely by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's not by works that any man should boast, Ephesians 2 says. So for God has not appointed you to wrath. You ought to know that God settled your account on Calvary if you trust in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Now here he is, the death of the cross is the important thing. And whether we be awake or asleep, we should live together with him.
Yes.
See, so some people will be sleeping and they'll still get in.
Yeah.
They might foot drag a little bit, but I'm trying to wake some people up here. But then he says in verse 11, wherefore comfort ye yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do.
Yes.
Build each other up.
Amen.
Encourage people.
Yeah.
And then God is working in all of them. Now notice this, he says, as we look on He says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you.
Yes.
In other words, you ought to know the ministers. That's know right. them. You know, don't know about them. A lot of people are so far distant from the church, you know yes. about them, you really don't know them.
Yeah.
You don't know what they go through. You don't know how things are in their life. You,
yes.
you don't, they're distant. But he says, know them.
Yeah.
Have an intimate understanding of who your yes. teachers are and where their heart is on
yes.
the things of God.
Amen.
See, it's important. Because otherwise somebody may try to sell you some snake oil or something. It won't help you.
Amen.
You see that? And then he says, and esteem them highly, not because we're so much, but just for the sake of the work that we do.
Yes.
Those who teach the truth.
Oh, yes.
That's it.
And then he says, and I started to stop there, but I said, I better put 14 in, because this is important. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That means, is everybody in the church going to be doing everything right?
Nope.
Nope.
No,
there's going to be some unruly folks.
Yes.
They're still in the church. But he says, warn them. Warn them. Stop that.
Yes.
Don't do that. Get right.
Yes.
That means you don't want to keep rules. You don't want to do things right and in order. You don't want to
yes.
do things decently.
That's
you're unruly.
Yes.
I can't count on you, maybe. I got to keep on coming back to you. Or you have your way of doing things other
yes.
than what God sees.
Amen.
Unruly. And comfort the feeble-minded. Some people may just not, they may be a few fries short of a Happy Meal, and they just can't get it together. You see what I'm saying? And you might have some people who don't think, or they're not the most quickest thinkers. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so he's saying you're going to have some feeble men. They may just be old, and they've been working a long time, and they're tired, and they can't listen as well. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's a lot of reasons why this term feeble-minded
yes.
might be applied.
Yes.
He says support the weak. Some people don't have strength to do a lot of things. Be
yes.
patient toward all men.
Yes.
But you see, this is the mix of the kind of people that we're that are in the church.
That's it.
And we're to love them. Christ loved them. He
Amen.
Died for them. He's able to present them before the Father without
yes.
a spot or a blemish.
Yes.
Okay, so I just said all that. We'll get back to Psalm 2 shortly, and I'll be ready to wrap this up. The intricately twisted religious atmosphere of the world today is the result of the scattering of the original false religion, which was birthed in the land of Shinar from the cities of Babel under the dominion of Nimrod, who was called a mighty hunter before the Lord. Read Genesis 10:8-19 and verse 32, and you'll find out that's where all the dividing of the Gentiles
yes.
came, and God scattered them. And I went there instead of the Garden of Eden, because this is after the flood.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody before that time were destroyed in the flood, except the 8 descendants of Noah and his descendants, let's
yeah.
say. And so false religion is recreated again. God wiped the whole thing out, because the end result of Adam and Eve's sin was total destruction.
My Lord.
Can't fix it, get rid of it. So he cleaned it out
yes.
with
yes,
a flood.
Yes, he did.
Saved 8, repopulated the world.
Yes.
What did they do? Same thing.
Same thing.
Chapter 11. This time he used tongues and distance and scattered them
yes.
all over the planet.
Yes, he did.
See? And now that has worked pretty well. It slowed things down quite a bit. But we're now on the third rise here, I would say. Actually, we could go and insert the first advent and say that Israel completely failed before it was all done. And God still bought his son anyway.
Yes.
And they crucified him.
Yes,
so that was probably the worst of the three
yes.
up to that point. And now the Son of God has come, been manifested, raised from the dead, preached in the world, and we're at the tail end of the church here now. And he's being scandalized again.
Yes, he is.
Because we
yes,
want to put him next to Buddha and all kinds
yep.
of other folks.
Amen.
And disgrace his name again.
Yeah.
See? So we need to watch what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Because this whole thing started there, and it's going to go back there. Because
yeah.
it always goes there. Man always defaults to total sin, needing complete destruction.
Yeah.
We've seen it over and over. Mm-hmm. You see? So where are we in that mix? That's what we have to ask ourselves.
Right.
How do I fit in this end time scenario? And what is my relationship to the gospel
yes.
and where my stand is?
All right.
So we're living in a time of spiritual masquerade in which many propagating the dictates of tradition continually indoctrinate newcomers from the general world of paganism, causing them to be sucked into the vortex of an even more dangerous state of unbelief of the true God, who alone deserves glory for
yes.
the sake of and for the sake of works. Based faith. These people have works-based faith. All of them. Everyone is all about works. That takes
yes.
you right back to the fig
so
leaves in the garden.
So true.
And well, now it's going to be whatever, the rituals of today or the ceremonies we go through
yep.
or the seven sacraments or whatever we want to call it.
Yes.
The 29 deadly sins, if we commit those in the 45, this or that.
Yep.
Or all that, we want to come back to that all the time. So for the sake of a works-based faith, which deeply defies the principal message of the Bible, which is salvation by grace alone.
That's right.
Through faith in Christ alone.
Amen.
That's the principal message. Can't get saved by works. No one ever did. Everybody's works are tainted.
Yes.
Most professing faiths or belief systems contain a doctrine about spiritual forces of darkness who oppose God and his people, such as Satan or the jinn, that's what they call the demons in the Muslim faith, or demons, whatever you want to call them. These teachings too differ. They differ even on that, but that's not the critical difference. I mean, everybody admits, in other words, let's just summarize that and say everybody believes in evil because evil is real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, September 11th, that was evil.
Yes.
Plain and simple.
Yes.
Can't call it nothing else. They called it jihad. And said it was serving God.
Yeah.
To do evil. And destroy 3,200 innocent people.
Yeah.
Okay, it was not, everybody in the world agrees that was evil.
Right.
You know, except some people who are stuck in their traditions, as we see in this third point here that I wanted you to see. And so their teachings about God and life and practice and people who are subjects of God, basically that the one and only majestic potentate who we will affectionately refer to as Almighty God, basically they don't teach the right thing about him, you see. But they teach things similar, saying that there are evil forces in the world. And primarily with this in mind, it is wiser for persons who desire to know the truth to learn to avoid the dictates of tradition. And limitless, unbridled tolerance. People think that, oh, we just need to tolerate everything. No, you don't.
So true.
Because, you know, that's going to create a poison. Go mix everything in your medicine cabinet together and take a drink of it. It has to be about the same thing.
Yes.
You know, mix it all and let's just take some of that, man, and I'll feel better in the morning. No, you won't. You probably won't be here. Okay?
So true.
Which we have shown it requires a complete departure from common sense. There's no way that can be true. You know what? If we said everything is all false, that could be true. Mm-hmm. And we could believe that. I could say maybe it's all false.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to take an atheistic mindset.
Right.
You know, but then the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Because
right.
You look at what he made, there's no way it could all be false.
No way.
Mm-hmm. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Right.
And the firmament shows his handiwork.
Yes.
So we know there is a God. And he will. He is holy. We can tell by
yes,
the beauty of the stuff he made. He's holy.
Amen.
And so basically we want to go on and prayerfully read the Bible. This is what I'm challenging Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, whoever you are. If you're not a Christian, I'm challenging them to read the Bible prayerfully, asking God to reveal himself by way of the truth, which is his word, John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. And to reveal Jesus as only begotten Son, the Savior,
yes.
to them. That's it. That's kind of where we want to wrap up. But I want you to see the Old Testament just before we take our seat. Old Testament Psalms number 2. This goes pretty quick. Why do the heathen rage? That word heathen is the Old Testament word that could be translated Gentiles or nations.
Mm-hmm.
It's the word goyim in the Hebrew.
Yeah.
Why do they rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? I mean, something that will not help them. The kings of the earth, this is the high and the mighty, set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's God and his son.
Yes.
The anointed one, Jesus Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be bound down by the Christian faith.
Yeah.
He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure.
Yes.
See, God is not pleased when his son is rejected.
That's right.
Yet I have set my king. In spite of all you people who have been kings throughout the history of time, God says, yet have I set my king up on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee.
Yes.
Now all the Jews know that God has an anointed son.
Mm-hmm.
It's in their scripture. Psalm 2 is old, very old.
Yes.
Ancient scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a begotten son. He's not like Adam, the created son of God.
Right.
He is the begotten, the born son coming out of the flesh.
Yeah.
Born of a virgin, as Isaiah had said.
Yes.
Moses wrote about the virgin birth in Genesis 3. And so the Jews can't say they didn't believe in a virgin-born Savior. It's right in your own scripture.
Mm-hmm.
He says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen. This is the Father to the Son. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, and thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Now, isn't that kind of sad? I'm going to give you all the Gentiles, all the nations. You see, the Son. But you have to break them with a rod of iron. Yes. That's how hard-headed people are.
Yes.
They will not receive the truth.
Yeah.
Thou shalt dash them in pieces. This is judgment, like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore. This is a warning. All ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. It means give honor and homage and glory to the
yes.
Son. Lest he be angry, God will be upset with you, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little.
Yes.
Blessed are all they that put their trust in him, and that in him is the Son.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
See that? So that's the only way you yes. can be blessed, is to trust in the Son of God. So the Jews need to read that and pray on it.
Yes.
The Muslims need to consider the things that I have said.
Yeah.
And the church needs to consider what we have
all
said
right.
so
yeah.
we can know where we're supposed to be. And what we're supposed to do to be avoiding the deceptions of spiritual masquerade. And I'm just going to say this last thing before I take my seat. The last time I was here, I talked with you about how pride galvanizes people in their sin. That's why they don't ever change. They don't want to change. I can't say this is wrong and eat humble pie and say I said the wrong thing. I taught the wrong thing. I have to keep my little suit on
yeah.
and continue to do my little thing and act like everything is right.
Yeah.
Play the game. Go through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But inside, we know when we're convicted by the truth that it's not right.
Right.
Why can't we take off the suit?
All right.
Why can't we just be real?
Amen.
See, the gospel is real. It's nothing more real than a crucified Christ stripped of all of his
yes.
clothing, hung high
yes.
between heaven and earth.
Yes.
See, the Son of God. Why?
Yes.
Why did that happen? Why is time divided by Christ, by the cross?
Yeah.
See, why is it 2,010 years since he was
yes.
born into the world?
Oh, yes.
See, we have to ask. It's a real question.
Mm-hmm.
And why would God let his Son hang up there in humiliation like that
mm-hmm.
if there was something you can do to make yourself clean
all right.
and free from sin?
Yeah.
And the answer is God is a just God.
Yes,
he had
he
to
is.
Have someone to pay the debt.
Thank you, Jesus.
Adam plunged us into sin. Jesus purchased us out of sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, all by himself.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, and they always show him with a little loincloth on, but if you read
yes.
the text, it says that they divided his garments.
Yeah.
My Lord.
You know, the seamless garment, they took that off whole
yes.
and gambled for it at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
See, so think of a naked Savior hanging
yes.
crucified, shedding his blood for you. And then there's some other way we can get to God, though. That's a humiliation. It's a spit in the very face of God. It really
yes,
is.
It is. Yes, it is.
See, so only by Christ can we be saved. And I hope you will embrace that. And I'm proud of the cross.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
want to say that. I'm proud of the
yes,
cross.
Lord.
God
yes.
did that for us.
Yes, it is.
To make us clean.
Thank
and you
Jesus.
Know what? Because he did that,
thank you, Jesus.
We can know for sure that we are clean.
That's yeah. right.
And he raised him from the dead to show you that even when man has done his most heinous thing, that was
yes.
the most heinous thing ever happened in the history
that's
of the world.
Right. That's right.
That I still have mercy
yes.
and grace, and I have the power over the death and the grave.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
see?
Jesus.
And he was seen for 40 days.
Yes.
And he told them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has put into his own power. Like
yes.
Paul saying, brother, and I don't need to write anything to you
yeah.
about this.
Mm-hmm.
But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you,
thank
and you
Jesus.
Shall be witnesses unto me.
Yes.
Both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right,
you. Yes, Lord. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen. Yes. We have heard a wonderful sermon, and after that, we're going to open the doors of the church.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
The doors of the church are open for the acceptance of members. You may come by letter, candidate for baptism, or by Christian experience.